Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Beginning with verse 12. Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. Jesus has just ascended to heaven. The Bible says, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." This is the event leading up to the day of Pentecost. I want to tell you something I overheard this week. I had stopped to get a bite to eat, and I happened to hear some folks talking at the table beside of where I was sitting. They didn't realize I was a preacher. My back was to them. And they probably didn't realize somebody could hear their conversation. But I could. I didn't mean to break the law and eavesdrop, but I did. And they were talking about going to prayer meeting. And as they talked about going to prayer meeting, they were trying to find every excuse they could not to come to a prayer meeting. Now, I don't know whose pastor their pastor was. I don't know what church they went to. But they got in this debate, you know, trying to talk one another into how they could miss church and feel good about missing church. And finally, the one lady made a statement. And in her statement, she got frustrated and she said, "Well, it won't hurt to miss." She said, "It's only a prayer meeting." But you know what? That's the way most people feel. See, in fact, even though most of us are here tonight, if we were really honest from the depths of our soul, it's just another Wednesday night prayer meeting. It's Wednesday night. What can happen at prayer meeting? And I thought of probably one of the greatest pieces of literature that C.H. Spurgeon ever wrote. He did an exhortation on prayer, and he entitled it, "Only a Prayer Meeting." And that's my subject for tonight. I won't bring out the points he brought out in that. But you know, there's some things that can only happen at a prayer meeting. It won't happen at a Bible conference as good as those are. It won't happen in a Bible class as good as that is. It won't happen while the preacher's preaching, as much as God condones that. There's some things that can only happen at a prayer meeting. A century ago, the Great Welsh Revival broke out, and no one really wanted to take the official leadership during that time or take credit for it, but a man by the name of Evan Roberts was probably one of the unofficial leaders of that. And within a matter of weeks and months, every church house was filled, and every time the doors were open, people would stand around the walls, and people were being converted by the thousands, and it didn't matter what time of day or night they had church, the churches were all filled, and revival swept across Europe out of that Welsh revival. An evangelist from another country was curious about what was happening there. And he went to visit the Welsh Revival, and Evan Roberts was leading the service that he was in. And in the middle of the service, they asked if the congregation had some testimonies they'd like to give or comments they'd like to make. And a man stood up, this evangelist traveling from another country, and said, "I've heard so much about the great Welsh Revival, and I just wanted to come to see what the secret is." Evan Roberts, with a voice like thunder, pointed his finger and said, "There is no secret. Ask and you shall receive." In other words, he's saying, you can't program the move of God. You can't make God move at your command. There's some things that the only way God will move is if we pray and seek the Lord. Ask and you shall receive. All of prayer makes all the difference. And prayer is no secret. Here we read once again of the importance of prayer. There may be something tonight in this prayer meeting that God will do through prayer for somebody that He would not do any other time or any other place than right here at this appointed time in this particular service. We'll never be gathered together again like this. After all, it's only a prayer meeting. The early church put great emphasis on prayer. The modern church puts great emphasis on pleasure. Churches all across this country tonight will not have prayer meeting. They abandoned prayer meeting years ago. They don't have prayer meeting. They'll play basketball. They'll have paintball mazes. They'll have drama teams. I'm preaching, by the way. But I don't know what's worse. To be in a church that does that because they're really fulfilling their heart's desire, or to be in a church that we act like we care about it, but we really don't. Now, you better shout amen tonight because you're here. But there's a lot of folks that could be here and should be here that's not here, and the very miracle they may need tonight, they'll not receive because they're not in prayer meeting. You say, "Now, preacher, they're sick." Well, we all get sick. We all go through things. But most of them's just lazy. If I stood up at a board meeting and said, "Let's shut down prayer meeting," the board would rise to their feet and say, "What kind of a pastor are you?" But yet, when you don't attend prayer meeting, when it's the least important service of the week, I want to tell you something, folks. I don't worry about Sunday morning numbers. I don't want to pastor a Sunday morning church. I don't want to have a big turnout on Sunday morning, and that's all there is. I think the true gauge of the church is the prayer meeting crowd. The crowd that says we'll take time to call out to God, and yet we have prayer meeting after prayer meeting, and oftentimes, I'm honest, I'm embarrassed at how scarce the number is of those that's on our altars when we pray. Well, the pews are tight and it's hard to get in and it's hard to get out. I better move on. Have you forgotten that prayer was God's idea? It wasn't my idea, it was God's idea. Have you forgotten that prayer is the thermostat in any church that sets the spiritual environment of that church? The things that happen will not take place because of all the time I spend in study and preparation for a sermon. That won't change the environment of this church. But if you want to see a service change dynamically, it's the amount of time that you have put into prayer before you ever get there, and the attitude of prayer while we are there. Great things happen when we pray. There's things that can only happen when we pray. And the thing we need to realize more than ever before is the importance and the significance of prayer. But after all, it's only a prayer meeting. Any church that when the prayer meeting begins to go, it won't be long until the church will begin to decline. The people, this is statistically true, the people that give the most of their finances and the most of their time are the people that attend prayer meeting. The people that have the greatest desire for their church to grow and move forward are those that's concerned about the prayer meeting. We need to understand the significance of prayer. Someone said from this passage that I read to you tonight that they prayed for 10 days, they preached for 10 minutes, and 3,000 souls were saved. Today we preach for 10 years, we pray for 10 minutes, and nobody gets saved. The truth of the matter is, we could pray the power of God down in this place until when we come through the doors of the sanctuary, you can sense the presence of God there to heal the sick, to touch those that have needs, to save the lost. It's time we got back to prayer. Look at the people that were there at this prayer meeting. The church leaders were all there. It names them. He wanted us to know. The apostles were present. Why? Because a church cannot rise above its leadership. Leadership that does not pray will not accomplish anything within the church. I can't expect you to pray if I don't pray myself. But if the preacher prays, he has a right to expect the people to pray. Someone asked C.H. Spurgeon one time why he thought that his ministry was so fruitful. And he said, I believe my ministry is so fruitful because my people pray for me. Oh, what a thing for a preacher to say that I know my people are praying for me. But you know something? I doubt you're praying for me if you're balancing your checkbook while I preach and clipping your fingernails. I just have a funny feeling that you're not really praying for me if you're cleaning out your pocketbook while I'm preaching. You say, you're being judgmental now. No, I'm being honest. The truth of the matter is, no preacher can preach without the people praying for them. I can't carry the load of a church like this without you praying for me. And you know what? I don't want to carry it by myself. If I don't have folks that's willing to pray for me, everything else I do is in vain. The power of the church lies in the power of the people that believe God can move when they ask God to move. Prayer changes things. The leadership were praying people. The women were there. They were praying. You know, I always get amazed when we have our Jubilee prayer meetings. How few women show up. I guess women think they can't pray. But you better read the passage. When they went to the upper room and prayed, the women were there. The prayers of women have changed the outcome of many a life across this nation. The prayers of a precious mother for her children have touched the lives of those children far greater than any message that has ever come off the tongue of the man of God. I'm here to tell you, praying people, and I don't mind to tell you, I feel a little void in my life when I watch a lot of these old-time saints go on. I tell you, if the Payne family can't feel the void from Bertha Payne not being, I feel the void. This past year has been a difficult year on me because a lot of folks that I knew were praying for me. They're not there now. And I wonder, Lord, when are you going to raise up some that'll get the burden and the vision to pray for the service and pray for the power of God to come and not spend so much time talking about things to others, but spend more time talking to God about the needs in people's lives. That praying women were there. The new converts were there. His brethren. That's not talking about his physical brethren. That's talking about those that have become followers of the Lord. There's nothing any sweeter than seeing new converts join hands with the old saints and have the same faith in God to move as those that's been down the way before. You'll find out if you're a new convert, the devil will challenge you in many areas of your life. And what he'll do is he'll tell you you no longer feel like you're saved. He'll tell you that God no longer cares. But I'll guarantee you this. If you just keep on praying and keep on praying, it won't be long until God will roll back the clouds and honor your faith. And God will do what needs to be done in your life. Prayer makes the difference. The plan. How did they pray? Well, they prayed persistently. They continued in prayer. They abode in prayer. They weren't there praying for the promise. Let me get this right with you. They weren't there praying for the promise. Someone said they were there praying for the Holy Ghost. No, Holy Ghost was coming whether they prayed or not. Jesus said, I'll go to the Father and I'll pray to the Father that He'll send the Comforter unto you. He already took care of that. They weren't praying. See, if it's promised, you don't have to pray about it. There's some things, you know, there's some things you don't have to pray about. Did you know you don't have to pray about tithing? Just get up off your knees and get in your wallet. Don't have to pray about it. God's not going to change His mind about it. He says, this is mine. You worship me with it. You praise me with it. It's mine. Give it to me. You don't have to pray about reading the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You don't have to pray about reading your Bible. You don't have to pray about whether or not you should go to church. You don't have to pray about should you tell people about Jesus. You don't have to pray about should you love people or not love people. I wish you'd help me preach tonight. Some things you don't have to pray about. You just have to do it. But there's other things that after we've done what He said to do, yes, we still need prayer. And people cried out and prayed, and God heard their prayers and answered their cries. But we are so quick to start out and say, Lord, I can take care of this by myself. I don't need your help on this. And then when it gets so bad, the devil says, now you've gone too far and you've waited too long to pray about it. But I've got news for you tonight. I don't care what your situation is in life, how impossible it might seem, one prayer can make all the difference. If you touch heaven and heaven touches you, you'll never be the same again. Prayer makes the difference. They prayed fervently. They prayed with fire, supplication. That fervency is not the prayer that most people pray. See, most people pray for the feeling of the Holy Ghost, not the feeling of the Holy. In other words, I want to feel Him. I don't want Him to feel me. Well, you say, preacher, what were they praying for? They were praying for themselves. They were praying, Lord, give me the capacity for the power that You're about to pour out on me. Lord, help me to see what You could do if I'm willing to trust You and reach out by faith with what You've given to me. They were praying for capacity inside their heart to receive the things that God had given. They weren't in doubt that the Holy Ghost was coming. They were in doubt that they would be able to do what He wanted them to do. So they were readying themselves. They were preparing themselves for God to do the miraculous. They were steadfast. That means they stuck to it. They didn't pray one time and say, well, look there, it didn't happen. I'm going on my way. We saw that little baby walk across the front of this church. But folks, that's been a couple years it's gone by. See, God sometimes starts the work then, but as He keeps building on the work, it's a period of time that'll pass before you see what all God's doing. And tonight could be the start of one of the greatest things that ever happened in your life. But if you get to the place that you feel like it'll do no good to pray about it, and you feel like God can't do anything about it, then nothing will happen. But I'm here to tell you, I've got good news from heaven. All things are possible to them that believe. Ask, and you shall receive. What if I ask and I don't get it? Ask again. Ask again. Ask again. Ask again. Don't stop praying. Don't pray for your lost children and then give up. Keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. And say, Lord, if I have to die on this altar, I'm going to die knowing that I believe in You and asking You for everything that I know that You can do. Keep praying. God can do anything if we pray. I had a church contact me in Africa. And when I got the email said, They needed $1,000 to buy pews, windows, doors, and Bibles for their church. Could you imagine worshiping in a church tonight with no windows in it? No pews to sit on? No Bible to hold in your hand? I think $1,000 is a pretty good deal for 450 people. I emailed them back and I told the pastor, I've worked with this gentleman some. I said, I don't have the money. I said, but I know who does. Do you believe that? I said, I know who does. And I said, now I don't know where it's at, but he knows where it's at. So I said, let's pray about it and believe God. I prayed that morning. I looked at that email again and prayed again all the way driving to the office at Ironton. It was on my mind. I just prayed, Lord, I don't know where that's at. You've got to help these people. I walked through the door and the secretary says, it's the phone, someone that wants to talk to you. And there's a lady crying on the other end. She said, preacher, we just sold our home. She said, our church has $1 million in the bank. And said, we don't know what we're going to do with it. They have no plans of doing anything. They don't support any missions. They don't do anything. She said, we don't have 50 people left in the church. The church is dead. She said, I pay my tithes. She said, but I've got $1,000. And the Lord said, you might need that for somebody. I said, can you hold on a minute? I laid the phone down and I said, Lord, only you can reach across the miles and do things that I cannot do. Don't tell me that God's not able. Oh, things are possible to them that believe. All things. Oh, you don't know. You don't know what I'm facing. He's walked out on me and he's not coming back. Then pray God will help you get over it. Maybe you're better off without Him. Maybe that's bound you down so long, they're not going to serve the Lord, try to drag you out too. Maybe God says, look around, you've got a whole church that loves you and people that loves you. And you say, but preacher, you don't know how lonely it is. You don't know how lonely it was when Jesus went up to the top of Calvary's hill and died on a cross. Don't tell me about loneliness. He knows all about loneliness. In fact, He knows it better than you know it, because He reached the place where He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then God drew the curtain of darkness and could not look upon the sin. And He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I've never been able to say that. There's been times I felt alone, but God didn't forsake me. There may be times you forsake God, but God hasn't forsaken you. You say, well, preacher, you believe God can bring them back? Well, now you're in touchy territory. See, when we pray, we got to remember, God gives everyone a will. Everyone a will. You have a choice that you can make your mind up. Will you believe God or not believe God? That's your own will. Nobody can make you do what's right. And if they don't have the will to serve God, you can't make them serve the Lord. And you know what? God won't make them serve Him. But tell you what God can do. God can feed your faith and feed your faith and feed your faith until pretty soon it's growing like a mountain inside of you. And you may not have your situation changed overnight, but you know what will happen? You'll get to the point that it don't bother you like it used to bother you. You'll go on and understand God's not through with you. It's not over. See, some of you tonight, you come into this place and you're just like myself. You think it's Wednesday night, it's time to be here. After all, it's only a prayer meeting. But when they started praying, things started happening. The power of God began to move. In fact, when the power of God came, 3,000 were saved in this chapter. Chapter 4, the number had grown to 5,000 in the book of Acts. Chapter 6, the Bible says there was a multitude of disciples at Jerusalem.
Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, that great pulpit lectionary preacher, used to often say there was at least 250,000 converts in Jerusalem alone. In 6 months. 6 months. Hey, folks, I know a lot of folks are sitting back saying, boy, when we get that building built, we're going to get busy and we're going to do that and we're going to do this. I see a lot of empty seats tonight. Our church does good to run about 60% on Wednesday night what we run on Sunday. I'm not offending you, Emma. No, because you're so proud telling yourself how good you are and how great we are that you don't want to hear that. And listen, that other 40%, they're not all working tonight. And they're not all sick. God understands those things. The majority of those 40% that's not here sitting at home saying, it's only a prayer meeting. But what if this is the prayer meeting that God decides to come down and give us the most miraculous service we've ever had in the history of this church? We have a lady in our congregation tonight that in a little while we're going to pray for her. Her daughter called me this week. When she called me, I had no idea I'd be preaching tonight. When Howard called me last night, he said, I don't feel myself clear on anything. And I said, Howard, don't worry. I said, I'll take care of it. Because I knew what God was already doing. She's come, and I wouldn't offend her for anything or embarrass her, but basically, from my understanding, they've told her they've done all they can do for her. She has no immune system left. She's on oxygen. They drove probably an hour to an hour and a half each way to be in service tonight. And do you know why they're here? Her daughter, when I talked to her on the phone, said, I want to try to get somewhere where folks believe that you can lay hands on people and pray and God heal them. Now, when I pulled up tonight, I saw them. They took the wheelchair out to get her. They had to help her in. We had to try to get her somewhere at a place where there's so much flu and all that she's isolated some. If that inconvenience you having to walk around a wheelchair, tough. When you're sick and you're dying, you'll be glad there's a church that'll inconvenience theirself enough to stop and have prayer. But wonder, just wonder, what would happen in her life if we really prayed tonight? After all, it's only a prayer meeting. To her, it's not only a prayer meeting. It's her last hope. Rubyville Church, look up here. I'm not preaching to the world. I'm preaching to you. Somebody's counting on us tonight. And I don't have the power to do it. But I do have the power to make sure my heart is right with God before I ever lay hands on her and ask God to do something in her life. Because if it's done, it's going to have to be God that does it. You understand that, don't you, sis? I have no healing power in my hands, my elders. They have no healing power in their hands. The power is the power of God that's in us. But what we have to do is get us out of the way to let the power of God flow through us. But let me put it this way. What if it was your mother? What if God, oh bless the Lord. What if God woke you up in the middle of the night tonight and said, get your mom that's not able to be in public and drive an hour and a half each way to a bunch of people you don't know to see a preacher that you've only heard preach a few times and that you watch on TV some. I want you to take him there because I've heard them preach in that church and they believe that God can heal. She is counting on us to touch heaven for her, for God to do something tonight. We've got a tremendous responsibility on us. But it's only a prayer meeting. Just a prayer meeting. Just Wednesday night and we want to do something for an hour and a half or so. You know, when I prepared this message, Howard, it crossed my mind. How many people have died prematurely that God would have raised up if somebody would have prayed for them? See, somewhere in the line, down the line of history, the church no longer wants to take responsibility for somebody. It is true people have a will, but she's shown us her will tonight. Her will is for God to touch her. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying to you tonight. Donna, your mother, your aunt, the burden is off of you now. You've done what God said to do. You brought her here. You understand that? You're free. You're clear from that tonight. Don't ever let the devil tell you you didn't do what you should have done. You're free tonight. God burned you. You're willing to do anything God said. And God said, load her up and bring her. And you did it. But we're not. We're not. The loads don't. You say, preacher, you make it sound like that God heals because of us. We are the vessels of honor that God uses. I don't know why God chooses to use us. But I don't want to be a church that God can't use. I don't want to be a group of people that folks look at and say, don't go to church there. They don't care anyway. They won't pray about you. They're not concerned. They're uncompassionate. I don't want to be that kind of preacher in my life. I want to be a church that believes that God can do anything. And if we live right and we live holy and we believe the Word of God, we have the right to go right into the throne room of God tonight and say, Lord, please, for heaven's sake and the glory of God, heal this precious lady. We've got a responsibility. There's marriages that can be mended here tonight if we pray about it. Nobody, now hear me, nobody has ever been saved without prayer. Nobody's ever been saved. But after all, it's only a prayer meeting. We have a building committee meeting tonight, and I'm thankful for everything God's doing, but I couldn't help but think of this. The early church, they didn't have big, nice buildings like this. They didn't have all these musical instruments. They didn't even have Bible colleges. But I tell you what they had. They had the power of God on them. So much did the power of God rest on them that Peter, they said people would even come to get in his shadow. Just to be in his shadow because they were healed by being in his shadow. Now that wasn't Peter that was healing. That meant the power of God was so full that it was even in his shadow. Let me ask you something. If your best friend was sick and dying, would they ask you to pray for him? If someone had an impossible situation, would they come to you and have confidence in you that you'd pray about that thing? After all, it's only a prayer meeting. Just another Wednesday night. You know what? Now, I really mean this. My heart goes out to the ones that can't be here tonight. That's faithful and they never miss. My heart goes out to them. But you know, wouldn't it be something if this was the prayer meeting where God decided to pour out more power and more blessings and more healing and more salvation than any Wednesday night that we've ever met in the history of this church? I think I'm going to be glad to say I didn't miss this one. I think the Lord's getting ready to do something tonight that we're going to be able to say, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Because the glory of the Lord is in this place. It's going to take that.